You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Works. My name is Marcus Idedal, and today I am here by my lonesome doing this podcast solo. I have some notes here, headlines really I would like to discuss today in open air. Really, it's just me in my room talking to myself, but hopefully it will be a good show. It's a flagship edition, if you didn't know by the title. But anyways, I digress. I first wanted to briefly mention Bayern Munich's game against Union Berlin. I know the other lads and lassies, my Bavarian football works colleagues, have written about the game, and they also talked about the game extensively. I just wanted to start off this podcast by saying how, even though, you know, these 3 points in Berlin didn't really mean much to Bayern in the Bundesliga, I know that, you know, Leverkusen, who just at this moment made a last-minute equalizer in Dortmund and is still undefeated for more than a year now. But I know that, you know, the 3 points, Bayern won't... I mean, Leverkusen has already won the league. You know, the second place kind of seems quite safe, especially considering that Stuttgart lost today. I think that it has great opportunity to give much-needed positiveness in the squad. I think that the fact that Tuchel played a lot of players who hasn't played a lot this season, I'm mainly thinking of Choupo-Moting and Mathis Tell, but even the likes of Thomas Müller and Kim, who didn't start against Arsenal. Bayern Munich still winning with 5-1, still, you know, playing good football for 90 minutes. I think that has a positive energizer for the rest of the season. I think it's very, very important that Bayern still takes the league, you know, seriously, so they keep fit, but also they keep on a momentum now against the two Real Madrid games. I think that's very, very important. That's where I'll leave my thoughts on the Union game. Of course, it's always nice to see Thomas Müller scoring twice. I'm sure a lot of the Müller mafia was happy with that one. But today, what I would really like to talk about is who will be the next Bayern Munich coach. It's been quite some time now when the Bayern board announced that Thomas Tuchel will not be coaching Bayern Munich for the 2024-2025 season. When that was announced, I expected Bayern to have a replacement announced relatively shortly after, you know, Tuchel's, I wouldn't say sacking, but Tuchel's, you know, leave, right? I thought Bayern would spend maybe maximum a month. But yeah, really, in the next, I was expecting a replacement in the next few weeks after the Tuchel is leaving announcement, and that has not happened yet. And I'm not Didi Hamann's biggest fan, and I think what Tuchel said about his little dig at Didi Hamann there when he said German media that Didi knows best, of course, I thought that was actually quite hilarious, and Tuchel should really have some credit for that joke. But I did agree with Didi Hamann when he said, well, he really said that, like, Bayern are not moving with enough urgency in this search for a new coach. Really, I think also his comment was really kind of like a hint that not all is well in Munich. And agree. I am a bit worried, if I can be honest with you, my dear friends. While I love Uli Hoeneß and I love Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, I think they are football people and business people, you know, and they should be viewed with the highest regard. What they've done for the club is nothing short of remarkable. I am wondering how good it is that they're still in the shadows, and they hire a sporting director, but they seem like their word seems to be, you know, more important than the sporting director. I feel it causes a lot of confusion. I think it was Sippy who mentioned it in one comment of the many Bavarian Football Works articles we've written about the subject. Sippy mentioned that there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and I think that could be true. I think that Bayern's years, that is soon going to happen. I mean, Hoeneß and Rummenigge are getting that age, right? The retirement age. But one day Bayern will be without Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and without Uli Hoeneß. And I think that will be, of course, it will be undoubtedly very tough for Bayern. It will be really hard to let go of such a pioneers in the club's history. But I kind of feel that, like, now it's time to kind of rip out the bandage, if that makes sense. Like, it will be undeniably tough when they leave, but, like, Bayern just has to get over it. Fans has to get over it. It might not be, you know, immediate success 3-4 years after Hoeneß and Rummenigge leaves, but at least it's kind of time to pass on the torch. I guess that's what I really wanted to mention. Moving from that, I mentioned it because of the Nagelsmann rejection. You can be positive and you can say that Nagelsmann, he didn't reject Bayern. He actually just continued. He wanted to continue to be the coach of the German national team. I don't necessarily think that opinion holds a lot of weight. I think that Nagelsmann was definitely interested to have a second go at Bayern. However, he decided to not continue when he heard there was doubts from mainly Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and Uli Hoeneß. And yeah, that's, for me, it's quite interesting. To be honest, I think it could have maybe been a blessing in disguise, because I really like Julian Nagelsmann, and I think, still to this day, I think Bayern firing him in the way that they did it and replaced it with Tuchel, I think that was one of the greatest mistakes a Bayern board has done in my lifetime. And I haven't really read any articles or any comments that has convinced me that I'm wrong. I still think we are living with those consequences. Bayern fans are still living with the consequences of that absolute mayhem of a month a year ago. So for Nagelsmann to come back, I mean, I like him as a coach. I think he's a great coach, but it's just so much history there. And if Uli and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge are not, you know, entirely sold on him, it just sounds like a recipe for disaster. I mean, it sounds like a new season of FC Hollywood. And I don't think the Bayern fans want that anymore. I think Bayern fans, Bayern as a club as well, need a bit of stability. It just felt, him coming back to Bayern Munich just felt a bit off, to be honest. Felt a bit strange. And it felt like that would be an appointment that would kind of fail from day one if there is this reported on doubt about Julian Nagelsmann as a coach. But Julian Nagelsmann is the second out of, well, the first rejection, and again, is it defined as a rejection? I don't know. But the first Bayern's top priority when they fired Tuchel was obviously Xabi Alonso. And yes, Xabi wanted to continue with Leverkusen, but I also think, I mean, it, and they also rejected Liverpool, but I also think that was a bit of a hint that Bayern are not currently as attractive for future coaches. I mean, I thought when Xabi announced that he will stay at Leverkusen, I thought, okay, this seems, well, while, you know, it's not a great sign for Bayern Munich, this could also very well be just a young coach who wants to continue what he started at Leverkusen. He wants to be loyal to the team who took a chance with him, hiring him for his first, you know, real coaching gig in a club that's not a B team or whatever. But this Nagelsmann rejection, for me, it's just rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe I'm just getting a little bit worried, and maybe I'm being pessimistic, but I don't think it's a good sign that Nagelsmann rejected Bayern Munich, because he's also young, and I think Nagelsmann definitely has, you know, he definitely has goals that goes beyond being a national team coach, right? Normally, like, a really young coach wants to prove himself first in the, you know, in the club scene, managing a club team, and then maybe in the end of his career become a management coach. The fact that Nagelsmann rejected Bayern Munich, I thought was kind of strange. I did think it was kind of strange. And of course, you guys might mention it now in the comments. He didn't reject Bayern. He continued with, you know, the German national team. And Xabi didn't reject Bayern. He continued with Leverkusen. But I see both of these two instances as a piece to a larger puzzle. And that larger puzzle is, for me, it doesn't look very good. It doesn't look very good. And the fact, you know, now, well, since Pep, Bayern's had 6 coaches since Pep. And then I'm not counting Willy Sagnol. 6 coaches since 2016? 6 coaches in 8 years? Why would a coach really... I mean, like, of course, Bayern Munich has pull, you know? Like, everyone wants to try to be a Bayern Munich coach, but 6 coaches in 8 years? Like, if you are a young coach, I mean, it's a very risky move, right? To become a new Bayern coach? I mean, that's... If you're only... Let's say if you are the Serbi, or, you know, a younger coach like Nagelsmann, Nagelsmann's felt that, you know, the club treated him unfairly, and this could have a ripple effect in the manager market. Maybe it's not as bad as I'm saying. Maybe, you know, Bayern still is a club that that every coach wants to manage in, but currently, that's not true. The Leverkusen coach didn't want to match Bayern for the 24-25 season. And Bayern's old coach, who's now the German national team coach, also didn't want to match Bayern. And now, I've just been rambling on, right? I've been rambling on about my worry about the Bayern Munich board. But so, I hear you ask, Marcus, who do you want to become the next Bayern coach? If you were the board, who would you hire, knowing, you know, knowing the situation from Xabi and Nagelsmann, also knowing that Zinedine Zidane is out, who would you hire? Well, first of all, if I was the board, I think if Zinedine Zidane is out, like, if, I mean, there was some Spanish media that said that he's, you know, one step away from being the new Bayern coach, and then, you know, I think the German journalists and French journalists said that that's not true. If I was the Bayern's board, I would be like, guys, leave Zinedine Zidane alone. I don't think he's a good fit for Bayern Munich. And the reason why I don't think he's a good fit for Bayern Munich is that I have serious doubts of Zidane's qualities as a coach. And I know that sounds crazy. I know he's won 3 Champions League titles with Real Madrid. But yeah, I feel like his Real Madrid... Sure, I mean, they were great when they won the 3 titles. I mean, that's... But, like, I felt like the tactics wasn't... I felt like it was, like, a perfect storm, you know? Like, you know, Zidane had a fantastic Real Madrid team. A Real Madrid team that, you know, I felt... They are those, like, few teams in world football that don't really need to be coached. You know, they just have... They had such a smart, you know, players. They had global superstars. I felt that Zinedine Zidane joining that dressing room, you know, with his status in Real Madrid, I felt that the players respected him, which is a good sign. However, I feel that it was kind of like a perfect storm of some sense there. I wasn't too impressed by Real Madrid's tactics. I felt like they in the Champions League titles, they got quite lucky a few times, including when they played against Bayern Munich. But yeah, I don't know. I just have my doubts about Zinedine Zidane as a coach. And I think there's a reason why he hasn't been coached for a good while. I also think there's a reason why he stopped being Real Madrid's coach. If you look at his second stint at Real Madrid, that was he had a 60% win, around there, like 60% win rate. And that's even lower than Rafael Benitez. So maybe I'm wrong about him. You know, I will never claim that everything I say is fact. It's definitely not. However, I don't know. I would say no. And I would also... And I know before I was going to say who they want, but I'll just say the coaches I don't want, and then I'll provide you my my recommendation and what I would do if I was a board member of Bayern Munich. I would also not want Flick. Yeah, I can already hear the comments. Marcus, the treble winner Flick, why the heck do you not want him? Well, the Germany I saw under Hansi Flick, I thought in the World Cup, first of all, in the World Cup, got a bit unlucky. I thought they played quite okay against Spain. I thought they played very good against Japan in the first half, and then just, you know, for some reason, completely dropped it. And against Costa Rica, that was probably their worst game, but you know, still, they won it. So I thought, you know, 4 points in three games, and you still don't make it out of the group. It's a bit unlucky. However, the Germany that followed... The Germany against Japan in the friendly. Germany's game against Japan in that friendly. I have never, ever, ever in my life seen a Germany that bad. Maybe in 2001 when Germany lost 5-1 to England in Munich. But, England then was a really good team. And I felt like they were... 2001, I was 8 years old. But I remember they were incredibly... prolific, you know, they didn't have chances upon chances. They took the ones they had, and you know, I think the scoreline there was probably the bad thing in 2001 in Munich. But the Germany against Japan, it was horrendous. The players looked like they completely stopped caring, and yeah, it was the worst Germany I've ever seen. Also, they're so fascinating. I don't know if you guys have watched the Amazon documentary about Germany and Qatar. I mean, Hansi Flick, he just comes across as not very charismatic. He doesn't really seem to be able to say anything right. To say anything that would, you know, motivate these young players. And yeah, I have doubts about him as well, my friends. I have doubts about him as well as a top elite coach. Again, I think him joining after Kovac could have been result of the perfect storm. I think the players were really bored and fed up with Kovac's defensive tactics. I think the players were really angry at Kovac for his comments he made, the Ferrari comments he made. And I think that was a perfect storm, that Flick joined there. And, you know, Flick is very offensive coach. And I think the players just really liked that. And vibes alone, I think, got some wins there. You also have to think about that 2020 will forever be the strangest year in modern football history. Well, the strangest year in football history, I think. The fact that Champions League was not played over two games. It was almost like a World Cup of sorts. And I think it was Lisbon, right? And yeah, that also Germany was, you know, the Bundesliga was the first league to start football again. I think that also helped, right? I think that made Bayern stronger than teams from outside of Germany in that weird Champions League format. And look, a treble is a treble. A Champions League title is a Champions League title. Bayern deserved to win it. But it had a lot of different weird circumstances to it that you can't just write off, in my opinion. And that's why I am not sold on Flick. And I think it'll be very interesting if he, well, gets the Bayern job or if he gets a Barcelona job. I think that will be very, very interesting because it's really up to, you know, up to evidence now for Flick. His next job, I mean, if he fails in that, I don't know. I don't know what will happen with him. We'll have to see. So, Marcus, you boring old football fan. You don't want Zidane. You don't want Flick. You thought the Nagelsmann rejection was a blessing in disguise. Who do you want? Well, let's talk about the Serbi, Unai Emery, Ralf Rangnick, and Hoeneß. My decision is that I would like to hire Roberto De Zerbi, the Italian tactician, the uncompromising, attacking, charming, young, ambitious Italian football coach that many have said is the hottest young coach out there and a new Guardiola of sorts. Look, let's just start off. I know that he is not very experienced, at least, you know, he's not very experienced on this level, right? He hasn't... The biggest club he's ever managed, well, Brighton or Shakhtar Donetsk. I mean, I think Shakhtar Donetsk are on the same level as, you know, the bigness of the club as Brighton. But, you know, the best players he's probably had has been at Brighton. And that is a huge difference from Bayern Munich, right? The young the Brighton boys. I mean, what's his name? That young striker on top, Ferguson. Compared to Harry Kane, I mean, it's a different level, right? And managing at Brighton, which everyone has said is a very, you know, familiar, family-oriented club. I feel like Brighton is doing a lot of things right. I think they're very like unique in the way they run a football club. It will be very, very different in Munich. There's no love lost in Munich, as we all know. It's FC Hollywood, and it's the survival of the fittest. No love in the wild. That's Munich. And it will be very, very different from Brighton. I know that. However, I just love his football, and I know that's so... It's so stereotypical, you know? Like, you will call me Marcus, you know... You football hipster, of course you like De Zerbi. Yes, I do. And I think it could be fun. And I think it could be interesting to see Bayern taking that route, right? I've just been so impressed by Brighton, to be honest. And I've also really been impressed by his Sassuolo teams and the few times I saw his Shakhtar teams. And yes, I know he is quite, you know... He's always attacking, right? He's uncompromisingly attacking. And in the Champions League semifinal, will that work? I'm not sure. But I think if De Zerbi could, you know, bring his own style and bring his expertise, could it save this Bayern trajectory that I've mentioned before? I am quite worried is happening in Munich. Maybe. I think like it could be a perfect combination there, that after years of board mistakes with Nagelsmann, after a year of Tuchel's sometimes really bad football, that the board learns, you know, that the board hires De Zerbi and learns that to become a world-class football team again, you'll need to have some sort of long-term strategy. You need to give time to your coaches. You need to give time to other people. You need to give trust to other people to implement their ideas. And who better to do that than a modern coach like De Zerbi? I think he will be fantastic. And if I was the Bayern board, I would hire him. And please let me know what you think of this in the comments. You know, don't swear or anything, but I can handle mean comments. If you want to say, Marcus, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, please comment, because I'm really interested in seeing what other people think. Does other people think about Unai Emery? Maybe. I think I like Unai Emery, and I wouldn't be against Bayern Munich hiring him. I think he's a very, very good tactician. I think he's an incredibly clever person. And I really liked what I've seen with Aston Villa, and I also liked what I saw with Villarreal. However, he has proven that he sometimes has a trouble at the big clubs. I don't want to compare Paris Saint-Germain and Arsenal to Bayern in any way. I don't think that's fair. But I do want to note that those were two clubs he failed at, and they were probably the biggest ones he's ever been in charge of. Is PSG a big club? You know what I mean. You know, he had superstars and he had a fantastic, you know, squad to work with, and it didn't really work for him. Arsenal, of course, that was tough following Arsene Wenger, but that felt quite spectacularly there as well. He's now 52. Does he even want to leave Aston Villa? I'm not sure. I know Aston Villa are paying really good money for him. He has a very high wage. And I've heard on various podcasts that Aston Villa allows him to control a lot of things in the club. Control the transfer strategy and the likes. I think Emery has a lot of control at Aston Villa. And I think, I'm not even sure he would leave that. Maybe, I'm not sure. Especially if Aston Villa makes the Champions League. Anyways, would Bayern allow that control to him? Absolutely not. As we see now with Bayern, there is a lot of people who are above the coach, and it's always been like that in Munich. Rummenigge and Hoeneß are above the coach. They make decisions, I think, in the transfer market as well, that maybe if a coach doesn't agree with it, you know, the coach just has to swallow it. So, yeah, I think that's why I chose De Zerbi, because I think De Zerbi is more, I think he will just be so grateful for having a squad of, you know, that size, right? And I think De Zerbi, from what I read, is a very charming guy. I think he can work with Hoeneß, with Eberl, and with Rummenigge, and they can all get along, right? And I think De Zerbi would be okay to not have as much control like Emery apparently, you know, requires. Ralf Rangnick, I like him. Look, he's the father of gegenpressing. People say it's Jurgen Klopp. No, it's Ralf Rangnick. I mean, look up the things he did at Ulm, this wonderful German team who are currently winning the third division, actually. And they might be back in the second division soon, which is fantastic. They have a really great fans. But Ralf Rangnick, once in a day, took them to the Bundesliga. They're quite a small club. And I digress, guys. Please, but read about it. He's a trailblazer in gegenpressing. And we wouldn't enjoy Hansi Flick's 8-2 win against Barcelona if it wasn't for Ralf Rangnick. That sounds weird, but trust me, it's the truth. He's done a lot of good things for German football. Will he be the manager for Bayern Munich? I'm not sure. He's doing a fantastic job with Austria, an Austrian team that I think is one of the dark horses this Euros. Will Austria win the Euros? Probably not, right? But I think they might surprise a lot of people. Semi-final, maybe? Hey, you heard it here first. But yeah, I'm just like not so sure if Ralf Rangnick would be a good mashup again with Uli and Rummenigge, right? Like the old Leipzig guard and the Munich guard. Like, yeah, I'm not sure. Like, it's almost like a recipe for disaster there. And yeah, I think obviously he failed at United, but everyone fails at United, so I won't even hold that against him. Yeah, maybe actually. Now I'm thinking about it more and more. Maybe Ralph Rangnick, that could be cool, but no, and it doesn't really scream long-term solution either. No, so I'll still stick with De Zerbi, but Ralph Rangnick. I mean, I think it could be a cool kind of hire, but I'm not sure it's the best. I'm not sure it's the best. And then we have Sebastian Hoeneß, and look, I really like Sebastian Hoeneß. He has a lot of good things going for it. His Stuttgart this season has been, quite like underrated in my opinion. I mean, I know Leverkusen are the team to beat, and you know the team that everyone, even outside Germany, is talking about. But Stuttgart is doing some fantastic things this season, and they're playing also beautiful, fun football. So I think what Sebastian Hoeneß is doing there is really great, especially considering they were close to getting relegated last year. And, you know, they really surprised many. But for me, it's a no. It's way too early for Hoeneß. He didn't do really, really well at his last few months in Hoffenheim. I think he even got fired at Hoffenheim. And yeah, I think now at Stuttgart is really the first time he's done, you know, brilliant work, right? I would not say he's ready for Bayern Munich, people. I would not say that. I think that's just a too big of a gap, right? And also, I mean, I know he can't help it, but the fact that he has family relations with Uli Hoeneß, I mean, I don't know. That also sounds like a recipe for disaster, right? Okay, that's not his fault, obviously. And I mean, obviously, Bayern shouldn't base their decision on the new coach because of family relations. I'm not saying that, but no, I think the main reason I wouldn't hire Hoeneß is that it's a bit too early. I honestly would not be so surprised if Stuttgart does not do great next year. I think they might get Champions League, and I think it could happen like it happened to Union Berlin this year. That, you know, I've seen it so many times in the Bundesliga that teams do fantastic, you know, when they have to play European football, when they have to reinforce their squad, they do a lot of mistakes. And I think I would not be surprised if that happened to Stuttgart next year. Again, you heard it here first. I'm making a lot of predictions on this solo podcast. Many of them might end up biting me in the rear, but I digress. I just want to end this coaching rant, and it's been a rant. Hey, kudos to you if you stuck it through this far. I just want to end it with, if I was a Bayern Munich board, I would hire Roberto De Zerbi, and I would do it tomorrow, because this Bayern team, especially the players, they need reassurance. They need reassurance that, you know, next year we know what's going to happen. We know what player, you know, we know what coach is going to manage us. We know, based on previous experience, what that coach, what his tactical approach to the game is. Yeah, I think that the players need reassurance, right? So, that's my... I will end the coaching rant there. I thought I'll end this podcast with just quickly, because I've just been talking and talking. But I end it quickly on Bayern Munich's next week and a half. So, Bayern has Frankfurt next week, 3:30 Saturday, classic kickoff at home at the Allianz Arena before, obviously, the big one midweek, not next week, but the week after that, which Bayern will see Real Madrid at home. Huge. And I understand that for some fans, you know, the Bundesliga right now is not the most exciting, but trust me, guys, trust me. Watch those games and hope for a win, because while it doesn't really matter in the title race, it's already over, we all know that, it's just so important that Bayern goes into the first game against Real Madrid with a positive energy, that the players are happy with their football, they, you know, they have the backing of the fans, the backing on social media, that everything is kind of in harmony. Because in the Champions League semifinal, it matters so much. It matters so much. There's so much. I mean, a Champions League semifinal, it's the fine details that defines it. And energy and atmosphere and squad cohesion matters so much. So I think I'll just end it there that, you know, against Frankfurt in a week's time, while I don't necessarily need Bayern or need Tuchel to play with the strongest squad, I really, really hope that Bayern win that game, because I think it just means it would just, you know, bring more positivity to this train that Bayern's been on recently, right? I think the Union game, that it was a win there, was very, very important, because now Bayern will have two home games in a row. They'll be on a positive, you know, kind of feeling. And yeah, I just hope the Bayern wins against Frankfurt, you know, that no one gets injured, of course, before the big Real Madrid game. And Bayern goes into that Real Madrid game in their best state of mind they've been to in this season. Because if they do, Bayern has a good chance of reaching the final, guys. They really do. I was talking to Chuck on the podcast after the Arsenal game. If you haven't checked that out, please check it out. Where I said, you know, Tuchel surprised me. I never thought it was a good idea of, you know, firing him, but only firing him in the summer and not immediately. I thought that was a recipe for disaster. I was wrong, because Tuchel is a great Champions League coach. He's a great coach and he's a great knockout coach. He showed that against Arsenal. The fact that Bayern, you know, they tactically outsmarted Arsenal. Tuchel got everything right. Arteta did not. And Tuchel won that battle. And now against Carlo Ancelotti's Real Madrid, they were so lucky against Man City. Man City, I don't know how they did not win that. Both games. Manchester City, they played a lot better than Real Madrid in both games. Especially the one at the Etihad. I don't understand how they did not win that game. So this is not a team... Real Madrid is not a team that is, you know, that's unbeatable. It's definitely not. So yeah, I think I just want to end the pod on that note that... While we have a game before the Real Madrid game, and I understand it's not very exciting for some, let's hope that Bayern Munich wins against Frankfurt, and let's hope that, of course, that no one gets injured, and yeah, let's just hope that Bayern really rides on this positive train that we've seen and face Madrid with their best kind of high during a very low season. But I will end it there, guys. If you stuck with me for all this, yeah, was it 30 plus minutes? Kudos. It means that, you know, I've done something right. So please, if you want to comment, I try to respond to all the comments. So yeah, if you want to say anything about what I've discussed now, whether that be the coaching changes or my thoughts before the Frankfurt and Madrid games, please go ahead and comment. The lads and lassies at Bavarian Football Works will write and do more podcasts about Frankfurt, but then, of course, before the Real Madrid games. So please make sure to check that out. Also check out Bavarian Football Works on Twitter. It's at BavarianFBWorks. And yeah, check out all the great writers who work tirelessly to make this the best English speaking site about Bayern Munich on the internet. So yeah, my name is Marcus Urdahl. Thank you for listening. I wish you a great... Yeah, I don't know. Is this podcast being posted tonight or Monday? I didn't ask Chuck that. But anyways, if it's posted on Monday, I wish you a great week ahead, and yeah, talk soon.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Ciao.